Ladies and gentlemen, good morning to you all, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to the earnings call of Eletrobras for the 2020 results regarding the fourth quarter of 2020. We inform that everybody will be hearing the earnings call during the presentation, and thereafter, we will start the Q&A session, and you will receive further instruction. We remind you that this presentation is available in a PDF file in the IR website of Eletrobras. Should you need any help during the teleconference, please request the help by typing *02. Before we start, we would like to clarify that the statement that contains and forecasts, which are not statements of facts happened in the past, but they reflect beliefs and expectations of our management and may stand as estimates and forecasts for future events. These are based on information that is available to the company as of now. These are not guarantees of performance because we are based on facts that may or may not occur. You should understand that general economic conditions and other operational conditions might influence the results. Besides, we clarify that since March 16th of 2021, the presidency is occupied in an interim way by Ms. Elvira Cavalcanti, also Financial Director and Director of RI. We will have Ms. Elvira Prestes, Interim President and Financial Director of Eletrobras. Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr., Member of the Board of Directors. Pedro Luiz Jatobá, Director of Investor Relations. Now, I would like to give the floor to the President, Ms. Elvira Prestes, to start the audio conference. The floor is yours.
Good morning. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome once again to the earnings call of Eletrobras. To comment the results of the fourth quarter of 2020, and also to do the turnaround, the evaluation of the turnaround process, we invite our guest, Wilson Ferreira Jr., from the Board of Directors to do the presentation. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Elvira. Good morning, good afternoon to all of our colleagues and directors of Eletrobras. Thank you for the opportunity to share this information about the last quarter of 2020. I would like to acknowledge our investors, our shareholders, the analysts that are following us on this closing of the year 2020. We have a longer presentation today. I will be as brief as I can since we already published the results on Friday. I would just like to highlight that we are on the page two of the disclaimer. Due to the official letter to CVM and CSEP 04/2020 issued on January 12th, Eletrobras made the adjustments to the transmission rates of RBSE that were classified as financial assets for contract assets under the terms of CPC 47. As a consequence, in order to maintain the same comparative base, the company restated the balances of these assets. The accumulated reflexes of these restatements are found in the balance sheet. In the statement of income, statement of cash flow, statement of comprehensive income, and statement of added values presented below. They are presented below as provided by the CPC 23 IAS 8 accounting policies, changes in estimates and error corrections as per explanatory rate 4.4, consolidated financial statements for 2020. For the disclosing for Q20 quarterly results purposes, values have been restated with the effects of said letter and are already being considered throughout 2021 We will do the quarterly disclosures, comparisons with the 2020 quarters will be properly restated. There's a lot of work, therefore, that needs to be done. And therefore, I will start the presentation with the corporate and operating highlights. And you can go to page four. I believe that the main highlight here was the transmission RTP periodic tariff review, 3.036 million reais from July of last year. Therefore, we will have a recurring EBITDA of almost 14 million reais, and there is a 2% drop in comparison to 2019 in the fourth quarter. More relevant value, 4,575,000, with an addition of 46% in regards to the fourth quarter 2019. And once again, we have the incorporation of that revenue. Those two values deliver a recurring net profit of 9.4 million. And the value is 4.3 billion. And we have, once again, a leverage net debt adjusted EBITDA of 1.5 times LTM. With this new RBSC, we will have an indicator of leverage. And you can see the results. We also have to highlight at the beginning of the year, the final payment of the dividends withheld in February 2021, 2.2 billion, almost 2.3. We had, with our consensual personal dismissal, we had minus 562 people, employees, compared in comparison to 19. And we have about 420-21 in the first quarter. I'm going to talk about this. There is a personal recurring cost reduction of almost 400 million reais, 394. And we have the sale of 23 SCEs in the fourth quarter of 2020. And we have an inflow of cash of 624 million reais. We also have an impact at the end of the year. We have the adjustments of the transmission assets, ANP 1000, and, well, the provisional measure of 1031 in 2021, the electric capitalization, then we have the innovations in regards to PL 5877 and of 2019, the bill about capitalization. We have the HPT Tucuruí new contract. We have funding resources for funds from the legal Amazon and watershed of Furnas. We have government golden share back, and we have a redistribution of the economic benefits between CDE and the federal government, 50% each, and the possibility for BNDES already to begin its capitalization studies. It was a few weeks ago, the recognition of Eletrobras. We are in the 80th position from one of the 100 better with companies in terms of corporate reputation. We climbed 14 positions at 19. Those were the highlights, and now let's talk about the sectorial and economic context. As you know, there is a drop in the GDP of 4.1% due to the COVID-19 crisis. We see that the drop here of the daily energy load is 2%. So the process of the quarantine started on May 6th of 2020, a drop of 26.8%. The monthly electricity consumption was also very affected. We had a drop in the year of 2019 of 1.6% in the year, but as you can see in the second quarter of last year, all the months, they were above in comparison to 2019 in blue, and there is an increase that that led to fluctuations in the PLD settlement price for differences, as you can see in the graph, and the values dropped from 500 to 200 rand, and the company had the allocated energy in the PLD in reais per megawatt hour, and they were regulated for 2019. Let's go to page 6. We can have a generation performance, very clear overview. We have a reduction of market share. Now it's 29% of Brazil with 50,642 megawatts, and we had 33% of the energy generated in Brazil. We have the we have a renewable energy, and that is 5.5% regarding the accumulated fourth quarter of 19. And we can see down below, we can demonstrate the energetic balance and the generation income. And we can see the contract, the ACL for we had from 34 to 39, ACR, we had a drop from 15 to 11. And that made the free allocated volume, it went from, the ACL from 34 to 39, as it was mentioned. And we had here in the right, the generation income. We have a small mistake in percentage values. We need to fix the graph here. We have from 222, and here there is a drop in the regulated market. So there's a drop here. And we have allocated more volume, more revenue. And that increases in about 4.1%, but you can see that the average value of the ACL went from 173 to 146, so there is an excess of volume that was not compensated by the drop in values. Peter kept me, and he had that annual adjustment, which had the same behavior, but there was a stoppage that is recognized in the third quarter. Let's go to page 7. More sectoral context and performance. We can see the regulated contracts in terms of volume. We have the same result. And down below, we can see everything that I was mentioning. At the end of the contract to zero, we have the regulated contract of minus 417 million. The hydro quotas are adjusted to 132 million. The nuclear quotas, we have a negative 29 million. And the bilateral contracts, you can see in the free market, they have a higher sales and a lower price. So higher sales and supply, new the supply and readjustment in the price. And the CCEE has a higher value of 86 million. Those were the generation details. And let's conclude on page 8, and we have the future. Well, the generation plants under construction. We still have 1,571 megawatts that are being built. We should get by the end of this year 154, which is the conclusion of the combined cycle of Santa Cruz, 150 megawatts, plus another 3 from Casanova, 3 megawatts. There is the repower of 2 acres of Curua Una, 12 megawatts. And there is a project of Angra 3 by November 2026, 1,405. Speaking of Angra 3, we have an advancement here, 75%. We did The investment, as you can see, 8.5 billion. And the direct investment should be made 18.5 billion. What is important to highlight here is the conversion of MP 998 2020 of the law 14,120 of 2021, which has the legal security for this project. So we have the 50 plus 20 grant and the 40 years of supply contract. And of course, we have the assumption for the price, which is being done by BNDES through the economic and financial viability and the issue due to the readjustments for the inflation and cost of the nuclear fuel, which is what happens already in Angra 1 and Angra and the other Angra. So we have the regulatory framework for this work to continue to advance, and in February of this year, we had the public notice for contracting the civil works and part of the electromechanical assembly, the critical path acceleration plan. And we will leave the power plant for the conclusion of the work, as we mentioned, with the equipment and the assembly. And the civil works will continue. We're advancing a lot. Let's see page 9. We discussed this in detail and the importance of this law 14.02 of 2020, as you can see, which speaks of the established new conditions for the renegotiation of the hydrological risk and the electricity generation. We had the timeline, as you can see, and the CTE calculations. We expect that by March, we will have the publication of the calculations by NEEL. So the calculations of CTE is 4 billion for the corporate direct operations of turbulence companies. You should remember that we have a limitation for the LSFS due to the 7-year limit of the extension grant, 3.2 billion. As you can see here, the amounts are for January 2021, and we have 844 million of SPEs, of which 355 million are proportionate to the Electrobras participation. Therefore, if you remember, we will have 3.5 billion of the participation in Electrobras. And we have the CHESS, which is the amount unpaid for injunction, 1.5 billion. The credit withheld by CCE, 803 million. So we will have to receive a payment of 718 million, the net amount to be paid if the injunction that limits to GSF up to 95% did not succeed. So this is something that is ongoing. Let's talk about page 10, the transmission operating results. Once again, the participation, we now partake of a part of 43.5% of Brazil, 75,129 kilometers of the total of Eletrobras transmission in mines, 70,092, more than 230 kV. We can see here, these are the best results for operational availability of transmission side, 99.94%. And we have a reduction of 14%, almost 40% of load shedding disturbances. And 4 years ago, we have not had any major disconnections. So let's talk about in this period. Didn't cause any sort of limitation to consumption. And the variable portion, so the trustworthiness of the transmission lines, very favorable. We dropped from 2.8% to 1.84% in the fourth quarter of 2020. We're one of the best transmission companies. Just last year, in comparison to the fourth quarter, we had a reduction of expenses with the variable portion of almost 37 million reais, which indicates the trend to reduce the discounts by the Eletrobras companies. There is more trustworthiness and availability of our work, which will improve the reinforcement and improvement in the transmission under construction. We add here the 24 projects related to substation, 56 projects related to transmission lines, total planned investment 1.2 billion, and the revenue of RAP, annual allowed revenue of another 191 million. Therefore, we have a perspective of an improvement of credibility and getting these results. Page 12. We consider something very important, which is the journey that we are enterprising. There is the remuneration of the leadership. There is the work that is developed in the company, which is what we call the sustainability excellence, with an important participation of the board of directors. We have the placement of Eletrobras in the yearbook, the Sustainability Yearbook 2021, and we were considered bronze. Sustainability Award Bronze Class 2021 from S&P Global. We are carbon efficient, the carbon disclosure. You can see here the carbon efficient index B3. We have inclusion of IFB3. You can see on our site of the 2020 journey, the organization climate survey. We can see all the actions of IFB. We align our leadership, and we have the goals that are ISCE, that are related to the variable income. We are part of the 2020 organizational climate survey, and we got 77.96% increase in the index of favorability since the last edition. We have on the ICO2 B3 carbon efficient index B3, net zero emissions, greenhouse gas emissions composition target. We are A- on the Climate Change's Water Security Center for the fourth industrial revolution, C41IR in Brazil. There is the recognition from Bloomberg from Gender Equality Index. Even with all the pandemic, we've had a wonderful positive results. The company is performing in an exemplary way. Now you can see on page 13 the efforts of our control companies, Amazonas GT and Eletronorte, which jointly contributed with the 117 oxygen cylinders to the hospitals in Manaus and Presidente Figueiredo in Amazonas. We also had the transport of oxygen, therefore, in the state that was very important. We contributed at that very sad moment. With that, we go to the financial performance of Eletrobras in 2020. We have on page 15 the income statement in millions of reais. As always, we have the IFRS, the reported value in the first column, and then the recurrent on the right to give you a better idea. about the future of the company. We are going to work to achieve these results.
We get revenue that is close to regulatory. So the gross revenue grew 15%. The main contribution here you can see on the right, we have 1.4 billion. We have the revenue for transmission 52%, which was recognized. And we had in generation, in the operations, with a higher ACL in the short term, in the PIS homogeneous JT, and in the two thermoelectric TPP quality MLF3. Therefore, we have the only negative effect ACR regulated market at the end of contract minus 456. With that, we still have, for both cases, generation and transmission, an increase of revenue. 1.3% generation and transmission 52%. We also have a positive news, TNSO recurrent, when we see a drop here of personnel 7%, supplies and services 10% drop, but we also have actuarial losses for the pension funds due to the volatility, and that hindered the company. And we have also the non-recurring, judicial legal effect, which is PDC, like judicial agreement, and your agreements. You can see the main one with Light and Fortinus, representing the set here, minus 737 million. But the important thing, and here personnel supplies and services, these are relevant values for the company. We also had recurring operating costs higher because we had the operations in the north, and here there was a stoppage in Candiota, the investment was higher for construction, 7%. So fuel, 10% for Candiota 3, the stoppage lower than the energy for Santa Cruz. The recurring financial result, we have the exchange rate variation. We had the effect for 505 million. The derivative effect for Electronorte of another 265 million. The monetary adjustment, minus 144, and the financial investments. We have something also very important. And in recurring, non-recurring, the acquisition of PGT Electrosul tax credit in the fourth quarter, recognition of 1,727 million. These are non-recurring, of course. Monetary adjustments for compulsory loans and revenue and privatized distribution for the company's bonus rollover price plus FID commission. Very good. And let's see on the gross revenue, the evaluation here. We have the evaluation of the 15% that we had already mentioned. These are recurrent, well, the recurrent gross revenue and the gross revenue IFRS are basically the same. We have generation and exploration, minus 52 million in exploration. And we have the activity of O&M in the free market, 142. This is very important for the transmission, for O&M and construction, and the contract revenue. We have the 83%
We had a loss here of 61 million of other revenue, several things. We have the Furnas, out of those 61 million, the Furnas actuarial gains of 172 million in the fourth quarter and 67 million in the fourth quarter. The topic at Angra 1 and 2 and the flexibility of Candiota 3 as the main contributors. Gross revenue growing 50%. From now, we understand that there will be less impact from the non-recurrent. Let's see the PMSO. We have basically the maintenance of the PMSO for 2019-2020. As I had mentioned, there are three favorable items: personnel, supplies, and services. All of them, the relationship you can see here, the actions on the low on the left, and we have the negative of 187 million, which has to do with the actuarial losses of Furnas and the bank guarantees, the investment in discontinued projects of Eletronuclear, and donations and contributions, which is 25 million. These are the offenders, let's just say, of the non-recurrent items in this period. As you can see down below, non-recurrent items, we have the lease agreement that we have for 196 million, which is not just cash. There is also assets of Furnas to lease. There is CN, 134 million. We concluded that process, and we had a few things that we have from Eletronorte here. We have the operating provisions, a few characteristics. A part is in a report. All the explanations are in our statement, but the main one clearly is the compulsory loan, 590%. We have, for the total volume and it was recommended by the lawyer that we have the judicial process from Rio de Janeiro in person saying not providing the initial petition and then the federal district, we had the repetitive unfavorable decision reports. In both cases, the lawyers are supporting us. The main action is the jurisprudence in regards to the provisions we've had here. The positive effects in the PECLD in the financing and loans reversed regarding Amazonas Energias, 217. We had a new agreement in the reversal in Furnas due to the loss of CN, a lawsuit in the amount of 134, a reduction here to 93 in this agreement. We also had the PECLD, consumers and retailers, Amazonas Energias, energy debt with Amazonas GT, 95. Due to the decision of ANEEL to do the renegotiation, and it will be a positive contribution as well. We also have the stoppage at Candiota 3. There are those aspects as well, and mainly the impairment of long-term assets. We have 515 million this year. These are positive aspects. The TPP, Santa Cruz and Camaçari, the reversal on both. We had the Candiota 3 phase C substitution, -611. Eletronorte losses and unfixed assets and properties, 84. HPP, -52. you can see that care and the provision is very important, but each of these themes has the perspective in the financial results. Let's see page 19. You can see the EBITDA, the variation. The variation of recurring items here. We have the non-recurring items, minus 115. We already talked about it. The positive results of our participations, shareholding participations, the higher costs. We had more generation, which is fuel to power the plants. And there is a variation in PMSO. There is a recurring operating provisions with from the PCLD and the improvement in the gap provision and non-recurring items, which is very big. You can see 48.74, contingencies 3,122, investment losses 562, and other 674. These are the points. And they are reflected in the net income. And we see the net income, 1,259 in a recurrent. It is affected by the growth of the EBITDA, 1,451, and the result in recurrent financial and DNA, 485. The negative result, the non-recurring items, are the adjustments to the EBITDA on slide 19 that we already talked about, 4,874. And here, the monetary restatement of the compulsory loan settlement contingency. We have here the results of the company. So how do we do the definition of the results? We can see the reported net revenue. We have the legal reserve, and we have the realization of the revaluation reserve, the prescribed dividends. We have the result of 6,028,000,000 net revenue. We have the minimum payment, 5% adjustment of the net income. And we have the mandatory dividend, 25% net adjustment net income, 1.5 billion. We have the loans to allocate it. And we have PNA 1.1032, PNB 1032, ON 0.943. And we have the investments here, net revenue, the statutory reserve, and we have a retention of profits, Article 196, 1.4 billion, 200 million are referring to the resubmission of the financial demonstrations of 2019 and the retention article of law 6404. Page 22. As you can see, financial discipline, we do the follow-up of our leverage, which got in 16, at the and was 6.1. And we have the net debt EBITDA without RBSE, and we have the net debt EBITDA with RBSE, and then the net debt in blue. You can see on the graph the results. We've incorporated RBSE, we got to 1.5. The net revenue, the net debt, 20.3, and the recurrent EBITDA with RBSE, 14 million. It's a very important value. The capacity has more capacity to invest with a clear demonstration of our goals, financial goals, which is the goal being the net debt over the EBITDA, over the adjusted EBITDA being below 2.5. Like the investments of the company, we had here, you can see the slide, the 3 billion in 2020. It is true that we had favorable impacts, we can see here 700 million. The credit from the SPEs, 696 million. This is 4.5 billion reais, the corporate total, because we generated cash flow. Beyond that, we had impacts of efficiencies of the recurrent with the COVID pandemic, COVID impacts in Candiota. You can see here, up here, basically 1.4 billion, which are processes that are delayed, but will be done. The saving would be 700 million for the year, which will give you a realization of 60%. I'm going to conclude the presentation. Speaking of the turnaround, and in these 5 years, we can see here, the legacy that was instituted over these 5 years. We start with a company that had 26,000 employees in 2016, and we had the consensual dismissal plan, PDP. We got to the end of the year of 12,527, and the end of March, 12,088. We are in a negotiation with the union, collective bargaining agreement, and we should get here by October of 2021 with 11,612 employees. It's an important reduction, and we can see down the row, a reduction of the PMSO from 12.8 billion to 9.1 billion. The reduction, with the reduction in 2020, the value will be lower in 2021. We have the implementation of SAP, the OBC, the OBZ economies of 263 million in 2019 and 281 million in OBZ economy. We can see that we dropped from 3.6, the net debt EBITDA adjusted to 1.5. Here the market is recognizing the problem, the improvements. In 2016, the market value was 27 billion, and now the market value is 55 billion. A fundamental demonstration of that and of alignment, and you can see the number of shareholders. We had 23,000 shareholders at the end of 2016, and now we have 140,000 at the end of 2020. We also should highlight the restructuring. We had 178 SPEs, and we had the difficulty in the registrations. We created a board of conformity. We reformed the bylaws, and we started to sell and privatize the distributors Ceron, Eletroacre, Cepisa, and this was fundamental for the company. Also, the resources addressed from the privatization of the distributors Amazonas and Agencia, 3.6 billion, and now we have 94 SPEs, restructuring CGP Eletrosul. At the end of the year, the goal for the company is getting to 49 SPEs, and we can see that we're closer to that, and the incorporation of Amazonas GT, which prepares the company and readapts the company for the new structure. We have leverage and an improvement of our governance, and we will see a little bit of that. Page 26, we have the cost and expenses reduction, PMSO, already demonstrating the numbers that we already talked about. Here, looking at the details, the average age, in March of the people that were that left, the average age 62.5 years, the average fixed remuneration almost 20,000. The number of disconnections you can see here. And in November, we have another 476 disconnections. The disconnection dates you can see here from November. The estimated cost of termination is a plan that has an economic advantage. You spend 111 to actually get a saving of 180. And you can see for 2021, you spend 245 to get 292 back. And we have the negotiation with the unions. This allows the company to be modernized, having younger people in the company. 27, the cost reduction. You can see the graduate functions of other SWS companies. There is an organizational structure we had 269 to 942. There is the reduction of bonus functions of 54%. And just with those, there is a cost reduction from 212 in 16 to 105 million in 2020. Observe to what the company works annually. We had 885 number of directors. And now 162 board of directors. You can see the board of executive officers, a fiscal council, board of directors, and the total. And now we have a drop from 885 to 462. Meaning we basically slashed it in half. Page 28, we see the rationalization of FTEs. We have under force another 12 that were authorized by ANIL. The case of Pindai, 11 in EJs of 1. We should finish March with 82. We have received our preference in 2 FTEs. We are incorporating another one. These are corporate assets of Eletrobras. We are in the process of closure of another 14. You can see Valeria Famosa, CSP, one SPL LNT for sale, and Uncrossing 15. We should get you by December 49. Out of the 20 that were incorporated, they had a gain for Eletrobras of 133 million in EBITDA, and the sale allowed for the 2.2 billion realization to the company cash flow. I'm going to conclude my presentation now, talking very quickly about Eletrobras' future and the relevant themes. These will be the theme that Elvira will talk about our potential succession, and we outsourced the privatization MP 1031-2021. It was published by the NBS in March. We have the inclusion of the Eletrobras companies in the BND by March. We have the approval of the MP by National Congress deadline for quick discussion 120 days, no commissions foreseen for the pandemic. And we have the economic benefits. We have to define the assumption for calculating the economic benefit. It is calculated by the differential value of the decotization GSF, decotization period. This generates a difference in value that guarantees the price of the future energy. So these are the important definitions that NIL and the government are under the responsibility and economic benefits. You can see here on the right, the value that will be paid with the contractual obligations, and it's 230 years. You can see the values that were established with the MP, the funds, constituted funds, 8.75 billion. We have shared benefits for the electric sector. We have you get 50% for the union granting bonus of 15% for CDE, 30 years to be paid. You see half and half. And you have the evaluation of 51 billion, the benefit, well, the subtotal for the economic benefit to be calculated 51 billion. And then you have the CCC compensation, up to 3.5 billion receivables, you remove 2.5. And you have CDE, 25 billion, and once again, granting bonuses for unions for 25 billion. These are primary shares, the government doesn't take part. The government can sell the shares. Eletrobras is a corporation, has its controller. The capacity for the vote for the shareholders is limited to 10%. And, well, the voting capacity of the Eletrobras shareholder will be limited to 10% regardless of their shareholding position, and Eletrobras must be able to sell the energy at prices in line with the Brazilian market under the quota regime. Let's talk about the CEO succession. We hire Korn Ferry, the headhunter. We had a meeting with the board to understand the profile of the new executive. The director of governance, well, again, the candidates will be subjected to a rigorous integrity and eligibility analysis in accordance to the requirements of the state company laws and Eletrobras companies nominating regulation. And we also are linked to the board of directors, the temporary commission for the support of the succession process of the president of Eletrobras is linked to the board of directors and the Eletrobras management and people eligibility committee. They follow up on this process. And this elected candidate will be recommended to the board of directors. And they have to be approved by Casa Civil. In this process, we are at the end of the process. The board of directors appointed Ms. Elvira Cavalcanti Pesta as of last week and to be the interim CEO. And I would like to thank all of the directors of the company for the work that we shared. And we have the integration of all of this capacity of the leadership with all the collaborators. And we have the support of the Ministry of Mines and Energy. These are my, this is my presentation. Sorry for the time. And I am available for Q&A. Very well. Ladies and gentlemen, we will do the Q&A session. If you want to ask your question, please type asterisk 09 on your phone. We are selecting the questions. First question, Andres Sampaio from Banco Santander. Santander Bank. Welcome. Good afternoon. Thank you for supporting this turnaround. I think it's very important. I want to understand your overview. Well, we have new proposals for privatization. I would like to know what is your opinion on the discussion from the Congress and the question about the SPEs. You said they will have 49 in 21. Are you doing a second round of analysis of the remainder of the SPEs? Do you want to say anything? Okay, I'll start. The SPEs. We're going to get to the end of the year with 49 SPEs. I know that from then on, the company should evaluate. And you remember, when we decided strategically to sell the SPEs, we sold the ones that do not have an impact in regards to the price because of the GSE. They removed the value of the company. And from that moment on, a great deal of the SPEs that we will have will be hydroelectric power, Valamonte, Tomira, et cetera, and also the big ones. Madeira, et cetera. What we understand is hydroelectric power plants. We are waiting for the conclusion of TCE, and we have a preference. We can evaluate it. So there is an open path to do either. But remember that the value is safe. And remember, Madeira, we had a problem with the commissions of an EEL. And the company has the value of FPEs and will be able to evaluate strategically what is the best way, and working with the movements that the controllers want. The company is ready for that. In regards to what you said about the Congress, the reporter read what they, well, it's the deputy that relates to the people and is hearing what the people are saying, and I share that. We had discussed all the alternatives in with it. And we are evaluating what is acceptable and not. And we have the provisional measure that was published. Well, the deputy had an initial overview and now interacting with us and the Ministry of Economy and everything. The deputy can think a little bit more about this proposal, which is the evaluation of the ministry in regards to the alternative. And I believe that we will have people be talking about along the lines of the proposal that was presented for the capitalization at the National Congress. Thank you for your question. Thank you once again. And we're going to miss you. Thank you. But I'm still on the board of directors. Very well. Next, we have Carolina Carneiro from Credit Suisse. Before, I would like to remind you that we have the option for questions over the webcast. Write down your questions and we will read it. Yes, Carolina, good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the call. And thank you for all of this explanation. Now, I have two questions. The first one is about the succession process of the CEO. Elvira is the interim CEO, and we believe that this is a great choice. And we saw some in the press that we would have a short list of names, so we just wanted to know, how is this process of choosing the name of the new president and the new steps and the other steps? Second question about the 1031 MP. We have the values suggested initially, but as you remember, there are some items that were not taken into consideration. The indemnization of other power plants, GSD. So if you can help us with which items are relevant that are still not considered in that first account, and what do you think that the market should pay attention to, and what should be included in the final evaluation of the company? Thank you, Carol. Thank you for your comments about the management. The succession process is advancing, of course. Our president, Rui, has talked about getting this done as quickly as we can, so we can advance. We are at the end of this process. I don't want to actually discuss the numbers of how many people were interviewed. And if you want to remind me, you have to be submitted to Casa Civil. You have to call in an assembly of councilmen, and then the councilman will evaluate the candidates and recommend it to the Casa Civil. So we still have time, but we need to get this done, and Vida is doing the work along with the Ministry of Economy that is following up on this process. It's important that this new president, woman or man, is leading the company, because we have new proposals of the company, and we have to demonstrate the Ministry of Economy the importance of this capitalization process. This is the second theme. The second thing is indemnization. The non-amortized process of Tucuruí. And therefore, this was not demonstrated. There are some assets that we have to contribute, that we have to think about. And I think it's relevant, the discussion of the variables themselves. There is an increase of capital. And we have to be very careful to think about the future of the energy. And we've done a few simulations with the chart. And obviously, in each process, you have parameters. The parameters for future energy, the GSE losses, the standard of what is the rate for this flow. So we are sitting down at the table, and we have to recommend this to the board of directors. There is a lot of responsibility as quickly as we can, and obviously the company will assure that we have the inclusion of these values and in absolute value. This is the main one, the indemnizations that were on paper, but these are follow values. And there is 3.5 billion, and this is recognized by ANEEL. Thank you, Wilson. Very well. Now we will have Marcelo from Itaú Bank. Marcelo. Hello, everyone. Still talking about the premises, I have a comment that I wanted to talk about the document. The guarantees in the account of the ministry, if you can talk about the provision, and the long-term energy. The government is establishing a higher price in the long term. Do you think that there is a space for this long term number? Thank you. Thank you, Marcelo. Certainly, this has to be reviewed. And we have to discuss the ministry, and we have that overview. And we have, this will be very important for Eletrobras and other state-owned companies that can advance in the same direction, finishing the quotas, etc. And we believe that this will be done. I confess, I do not remember, and maybe you can discuss the value of the physical guarantee. There was a mistake, I should say, that was higher than what we had. And we have the set of reports. All of the PowerPoints of Eletrobras went through that review of the physical guarantee. And some of them were limited to that value of 5%. Or 10% of the concession. Now we have Tucuruí that has to be incorporated, but the government has 500, and then we can share this information right here. No, thank you. I was talking about the fixed guarantees because in the past there was a discussion, structural discussion, that you had to change the calculation methodology. And the only limitation is whether it's the first, second renewal. But I wanted to understand, is there more of a structural change? We know that in Northeast we don't have the physical guarantee. It is the moment that we have a higher effect. Is this a possibility or, well, I believe that there is a possibility. it's no use generating a guarantee if you cannot generate a guarantee. And here you have to do the real physical guarantee. And it will be reduced here. And we will have the proportion of volume in the physical guarantee, but in a real way. And I am certain that this will happen. Thank you. Once again, I remind all the guests, if you have any questions via webcast, you can also write it down. We will read it. The next question will be from Miguel Rodriguez from Morgan Stanley. Hello, Wilson and Vida. Thank you for the opportunity. And congratulations for the work that was done. Two questions. In the context of DNP about the capitalization, I want to see what is the possibility and the models for Itaipu and Eletronuclear, and when can you consider the migration of the company for the new market? This was discussed in the first proposal for capitalization. The second question, I want to know the status of the shareholder participation. Those that were guaranteed in the past, you considered the substitution of guarantees for those participation to be able to be sold. I wanted to get an update on that process and specifically on a few cases. Thank you. Thank you, Miguel. In regards to the models and the separation of the Itaipu pool, basically, I have two. We have the simpler one, which is the specific case of Itaipu. We only have a social capital, as you know, as a defined tariff for this power plant. It's binational, so there is no perspective for the remuneration for the social capital that is different from what is defined in the Annex C of the Itaipu Treaty. We have $50 billion that has to be updated, the shareholding participation, because the power plant will be 50 years now at the end of 2023. So the shareholder capital has to be passed on to a public company, and that's the main option. And you asked about Eletronuclear, almost 100%. At Eletrobras, and you could sell the social capital of Itaipu by the updated value, and you can do an evaluation of both. And you can sell the control of Eletronuclear . 50% is preferential capital. Eletrobras would get 49% of the control as a public company to control both participations, the full capital of Eletrobras and then the control of Eletronuclear. These are high values to validate this selling of these two participations. And this is a decision-making process. There is an exchange of shares that the government will have in the company that will be in the public company that will be lifted or not, and I understand that this is a process that is predicted, but it will take longer. I believe that the simplest way to do this now, in regards to the, this will be a provision of the company, and this is something that is desired. We evaluated many times this process. Since 80% of the capital is ordinary, 20% is preferential. And you cannot have the National Treasury as a minor shareholder. The shareholding participation, yes. We have a decision from the board to monetize. There is an investment in the liquidity of the this consortium. We have 10-15% of the shares already released, being listed, and we have a preference in the sense of the exchange of guarantees of shares, because we have in some cases opportunities for business and the company is working, in the sense of substituting these guarantees to release them. We will work to release them. Thank you, Wilson. Next question will be from Pedro from JP Morgan. I am Pedro from Goldman Sachs, actually. JP Morgan, a long time ago. Also, Nevira, thank you for the opportunity. I would like to congratulate your work. Thank you for all the interactions. And it makes our lives easier. I would like to actually talk about the golden chair. What has been discussed in the golden chair? We had the official discussions and I heard from you, Wilson. What have you discussed in that sense? Thank you, Pedro, for the question. Golden share is something that the Congress itself did. Golden share can remove the value. The limit of what we had down below, the maintenance of the headquarters of the controlling companies, the assets, and the power to eliminate concentration. These are the powers of the golden chair that were being discussed. The idea is to have a golden chair that relates to the assets of the Sobras, that relates to the four main operations, and obviously, to the capacity of keeping this capital pulverized. These are the powers that were considered. with the Golden Share. Thank you. So it will be a rational use of Golden Share. So that this is an independent corporation, regardless of the position of the government at the end of the capitalization. Yes, this is what the market is discussing. And another question. I remember that this was the mantra, which is a reduction in leverage. We see the 1.5 times in EBITDA, and you say that the goal is to be below that. It might not be optimal because of the fact that it's generating the cash, and you will lose a little bit of the optimum structure of the capital. This will be a challenge for the next CEO of the company, but what is, within the discussions that you've had, what is the target of the company post-capitalization? What would be the perspective for the maintenance of a leverage close to optimum? Would it be an increase in the payment of dividends? Would it be seeking new investments? Well, are you going to talk about to the other shareholders to consolidate this? What would be the path for an optimum leverage? Well, Pedro, that value of 2.5 is a value that we still have a lot of volatility. When we drop from 3 to 2.5, is that short term? We cannot forget that we have here a big operation in the case of Angra, and we are getting equity in the company to take it for our public bid, and from then on, a great deal of the capital will be for financing. So the company will re-leverage. And when you look at the company, you need to look at this perspective. And we have transactions such as the one that you mentioned. We haven't started to have the discussion and we have to be prepared for this. This is something that the company can repeat. But we believe that we need to have a perspective that is quicker with the entry of Angra, with building Angra 3 and the other ones. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we close the Q&A session. Now we give the floor to Wilson Ferreira Jr. for the final thoughts. The floor is yours. Thank you. I would like to thank everyone here for taking part in our earnings call. It was an honor to be a part of the board of directors and lead this company in this restructuring process. I have a lot of love for a Brazilian company that we know is very important, of fundamental importance for Brazilians. And it was the best professional experience that I've had, and I've honored the board of directors. We had people such as Schneider, Fraconi. Everybody was very important in the construction of this company. The directors Giacoba, Marcio, Vida. And we have a company that the main legacy is the training of the people of all the companies that are under the control of Eletrobras, and we are very proud. We have very consistent results. And we've had an evolution in regards to the positions. And we are stabilizing the company. It's a robust company. Transmission 45%. Good professionals. Excellent governance. And this will be leveraged, highlighted by the process of capitalization. I see that the successor, the board of directors, I had the honor to lead them, and I would like to thank the shareholders and investors that trust our company. I am a shareholder of Eletrobras, and I will continue to be because I believe strongly in this company and the evolution process of this company. Thank you for your attention, and I wish you the best, especially to my colleagues and the board of directors. And I wish you the best in this wonderful company that we managed to recover. Therefore, we close the teleconference of Eletrobras. Thank you for your participation. Have an excellent afternoon.